Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. I say all-new every week because we're constantly revising it, constantly improving it to make it a better experience for you for whatever it is you may need relative to real estate and home ownership. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today at 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no risk or cost to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. You have actually have a mortgage commitment, not a qualification or pre-qualification or whatever any lender may call it. This is a mortgage commitment. All you need is the house. So get one of these first, pre-purchase commitment, no risk, no cost, and then go out and look for your house, because then you can compete with those people that are trying to buy a house for cash. And it is a direct competition, because you it's exactly the same to the seller. Pre-purchase commitment is exactly the same as a cash buyer sitting next to you. So this is a very, very important step for your next purchase. Call today, 633-3700 for personalized, customized, what we call knock your socks off service. And check out our low rate guarantee, low rate and closing costs. Certain restrictions do apply. And the details are on our website at huntmortgage.com. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline. That's the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed now for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about. No other information is needed. If you drive by 123 Elm Street, just type in 123, and what will happen is you'll be given a choice of street names. It would prompt it. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically, just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listings, any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. It's the only service of its kind in Western New York. And Hunt Real Estate is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. Not a very good week for our teams, but hopefully the new day starts tomorrow.
Fingers crossed.
We are live this morning on WBE at 9:30 a.m. And if you'd like to participate in our show, call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or star 930. Those are all free calls. That's your mobile, star 930. So join us on the air at our house. And we have a very special show for you today, because in the studio with me today is the Comptroller of Erie County, Stefan Mihailu. Congratulations on your recent election, Stefan.
Thank you. Good morning. We were very, very pleased with the election results, a double-digit victory. And, you know, it's our third countywide victory in 5 years. And as a Republican, it's incredibly difficult to win countywide. And in voter registration, we're down 8-1 in the city of Buffalo, 2-1 countywide. And so I think it's a testament that folks really enjoy checks and balances in government. If there's a Democrat county executive, they like a Republican as controller. And you saw that with Chris Collins. When Chris Collins was county executive, Mark Poloncarz was controller, a Republican and Democrat. And I think that's a testament to the fact that government works best when you do have multiple entities being checks and balances on one another.
It's kind of interesting how that works. Excuse me. We've had people from the state legislature and the Senate sitting in that chair. No one from the governor's office except representatives of his. But it's interesting how even at the state level we maintain that kind of a little bit of a check and balance.
Oh, very much so.
Even though the whole state is the plurality is very much Democratic.
Well, on the New York State Assembly side, they are dominated by New York City Democrats. So if you are a Democratic member of the Assembly from anywhere west of New York City, you have zero voice in the process. New York City Democrats literally shut out every single Democrat outside of New York City and the legislative process in the Assembly. So even if you're a Democrat outside of New York, you're considered a minority member, just like a Republican. But thankfully, the Republicans have control of the New York State Senate with basically a collaboration with some breakaway Democrats, so that they are a check and balance on the Assembly and the governor. Because if not, it would be disastrous for Western New York if we had one party control in all of New York State. So basically it would mean that New York City and downstate would control the entire legislative process, and they would certainly favor legislation that could be beneficial to them but really harmful to Western New York and Erie County.
Speaking of the state itself, in your position as comptroller, at least to some extent, perhaps a large extent, what you do is raise funds for the mandates that start in Albany.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
So speaking of that ridiculous position, the impact is directly on the homeowners, property owners in our county here. And it's shocking to me sometimes to think that the percentage of the budget that is controlled, or not controlled, but dictated by those mandates, that we really here in the county have had little or no say in, with the exception of, as you say, our legislators that we send to Albany.
Correct.
But to a large extent, they've been sort of powerless in a lot of these things.
It's incredibly frustrating. Can you imagine with Hunt Real Estate selling a home, and your big selling point or a pitching point can be, you know what, if you buy a home in Erie County, you won't have to pay a property tax. For the last 10 years in Erie County, we actually paid a higher Medicaid bill to New York State than the revenue we collected in property tax. We could have had 0% property tax if it weren't for the fact that New York State forces Erie County to pay a portion of their Medicaid bill. Most states across the country, the federal government pays 50% of the Medicaid bill and the state pays the other 50%. Well, New York State and these politicians in their infinite wisdom forces counties to pay a major portion of that. So in Erie County, it's upwards of $200 million that we pay in this unfunded mandate for Medicaid. Republicans and Democrats in Erie County were all on the same page. It's a joke and it's ridiculous, and it really hurts our county budget. So
that's not just true here. It's true in every county.
Absolutely, and across the whole state.
Can't you, don't you have collective power to speak at the to our state legislators to maybe influence us? Because
we try.
We had Robin Schimminger on the show a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there's 36 programs within the Medicaid legislation. Most states elect 7 or 8 of those,
and we have the Cadillac.
We have 33, I believe, we elect, which means that's. We become a haven for those people seeking the greatest benefit from those.
Absolutely. And what's so frustrating, too, and you're absolutely correct in the fact that at the county level, we have no say whatsoever in the massive salad bar of health care that these politicians pick. It really is the Cadillac of health care in New York State, because there is a base, as you mentioned, 6 or 7. There's a base Medicaid program that governments have to support. Outside of that, then you basically pick and pay. And New York State picks the Cadillac of health care benefits for Medicaid, and they shove the bill down my throat and Erie County's throat.
My understanding is this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but how it's been explained to me is that originally when the Medicaid legislation was passed, I believe in the 60s, at that time the rule was that half would be funded by the national government, half by the state. And is it now 75-25?
Yeah, it's roughly a little bit. It's 50% federal government, and the New York State pays. They do not pay 50%. Sometimes it ranges, and before it was basically a 25-25 split with Erie County. We are paying less than 25, but the total bill is upwards of $200 million. And as I said before, for the past 10 years, we paid more in Medicaid than we collected in property taxes. We actually almost saw relief a few months ago. The federal government tried passing an amendment to the repeal of so-called Obamacare that would have forced New York State to pay the full 50%, but that did not pass the House of Representatives. We were crossing our fingers and saying a lot of rosaries to make sure that would pass, but it did not. That would have been the biggest piece of legislation to impact Erie County in generations. So unfortunately now we're still stuck with the bill. You know, I had the mindset of, can you imagine the housing explosion we would have in Erie County? And as you mentioned, Peter, across New York State, if we can literally sell to families, if you buy a home here in any of our counties, we won't charge you property tax. And it's unfortunate.
That'd be monstrously huge. Let me, regarding this, the whole health care issue, without getting into the legislation, something that is happening right now is kind of crossing over in the private institutions, publicly traded companies. that are involved in healthcare. For example, CVS is acquiring Aetna.
Monstrous deal.
And I was watching, I was listening to reports on that this week on the financial reporting stations, television stations. And one of the things that, that one of the reporters, commentators, actually someone from that industry was saying was that this is one of the ways, one of the only ways that we can begin to get the healthcare costs down. Because through such a combination, an insurer combining with a distributor of the of pharmaceuticals, for example, CVS, that you begin to create a kind of a vertical connection there, industrial connection that has to become more efficient than the current system. Are you tuned into all this? Is this something on your radar screen? Because you've got to be conscious of this stuff.
Well, healthcare is only because of the fact that obviously ECMC is a public benefit corporation that we county taxpayers cover the losses for ECMC. And that's why I think it's incredibly frustrating on my part, because you hear someone say, well, the poor should have health care, the indigent should have health care. Well, they do. ECMC cannot, by law, turn people away. They will receive care at ECMC, and the losses at ECMC are just astronomical. I think there was a miscalculation when, again, so-called Obamacare was passed, and people made the assumption, oh, they passed the law, health care is the law of the land. Well, I have health care. Well, no. ECMC actually has paid employees in the lobby of their emergency room that when people come in, they try to sign people up for Obamacare. And they're saying, no, you need to sign up for this health insurance. No. I have health insurance. And they will refuse to sign paperwork. So you made such a good point for Peter, where you said that we only control about 10% of our budget. That's roughly $160 to $170 million. We paid upwards of $40 million in this last budget to ECMC to cover their losses.
How do we pay for all that?
Through taxes. The taxpayers are paying for it.
But if the property taxes only cover Medicaid, barely, or actually don't, the rest is sales tax? Where else?
Sales tax. Sales tax is actually our largest source of revenue, upwards of $400 million in Erie County. And so it literally is being paid for by taxpayers, whether it's property tax or sales tax. And it's incredibly frustrating because we were told, oh, no, once we pass Obamacare, then this bill will be going down. And the exact opposite is happening. This bill, we actually had a basement when Chris Collins was county executive, and they thought there's no way it's going to go above $16 million. In ECMC one year, I think they gave us about a $7, $8 million refund because it didn't come anywhere close to $16 million. But once you passed Obamacare, folks just flooded our county hospital thinking, oh, I have health insurance, when in fact they do not. And so that went from basically being in the single digits to now $40+ million that we pay to cover health care for the poor.
So if they don't have health insurance, we are obligated to serve them anyway.
Yes, correct.
So we serve them.
Absolutely.
And then basically the taxpayers pay.
Every single taxpayer across Erie County or anyone that shops in Erie County, you're paying it directly through your property tax. Or for Canadians or other folks that aren't from the area that come here, they're absolutely paying for it through our sales tax. And it's incredible. Incredibly frustrating. If we didn't have to pay this $40 million payment to ECMC, by law we have to. It's called an IGT payment, intergovernmental transfer payment, that we're required to pay, that we actually pay via the New York State Department of Health. I cannot imagine what we can do. Our culturals, Albright Knox, which, full disclosure, I'm on the board, as you are as well, mm-hmm. But a lot of these major culturals across the county, we give all of the culturals a little more than $6 million. Every single cultural. And I know the Albright's going
cumulative.
Through. Yes, together, all of them. The zoo, BPO, Albright, many, the whole shebang. So I cannot imagine what we could do with $40 million, how much we can improve our roads, give it back to the taxpayers in the form of a tax cut, which I wholeheartedly support. But that's why it's so frustrating as a government official that our hands are tied in so many respects because of, the infinite wisdom of the politicians in New York State that really screw counties like Erie County and, in the end, hurt taxpayers.
How does this issue of the 2% property tax cap really, how does that really work relative to Erie County?
It doesn't. And let me tell you why. In theory, it sounds wonderful. And I think it's something that politicians created to say, okay, we're going to force you to basically not raise property taxes above this so-called cap. Well, there's also basically loopholes that's written in the legislation that if you are collecting certain taxes but you call them a fee, then it's not counting towards your tax cap. So here's what Erie County does. We have sewer districts all across Erie County. So every year, the administration will basically cherry pick some of the sewer districts. And people literally will not notice it on their tax bill. They will have no idea that this changed year to year, depending on the sewer district. And they'll basically change it from, oh, it's not a sewer tax this year, it's a sewer fee. So it's still the same amount we're collecting in taxes, but if you call it a fee, then it does not count. It's a loophole. It does not count towards your property tax cap. So if the county did not change and go through that loophole of changing the sewer tax to a sewer fee, depending on the district, we'd be millions of dollars over the tax cap. In theory, it sounds great, but what is the point of having a tax cap if you're allowing local governments numerous loopholes to get around it? You're not really giving relief to taxpayers if you're letting local governments circumvent the same law that you created to give them relief.
And isn't it true that the Supreme Court of the United States basically allowed Obamacare to stay in effect because what was deemed a fee in the legislation was interpreted as being a tax. By the Supreme Court Chief Justice, Mr. Roberts, which really changed the whole lay of the land.
Yeah,
with that one interpretation.
Obamacare has been an absolute train wreck, And I lived when I was a student. I've got my Syracuse University garb on today because my wife Ashley and my daughter Mia were going to the game. We always try to pick one game a year. Today we're going to the Colgate game. But I lived overseas in London for a brief stint when I studied abroad through Syracuse University. And I saw firsthand what a train wreck socialized medicine is. Our government could not even successfully run a cash for clunkers program many years ago. The bureaucrats in Washington could not even sell used cars in a successful manner. So why on earth would I let those clowns run my health care in the bureaucracy? And there were literally waiting lists. You know, if you're over the age of 50, which I'm getting there pretty soon, you know, you literally are a number pertaining to letting some bureaucrat pick and choose when you're available for your surgery.
That's true in Canada, too.
Absolutely. You know, my brother, who is an orthopedic surgeon, he did some work in Detroit before, and some of his biggest patients, his most consistent patients, were wealthy Canadians.
Well, let's just touch on that for a second. If you interview Canadian citizens, and many of them listen to this show, probably out of curiosity more than anything, if they listen at all. And you know, they defend their system, and they say that they're very happy with it. And it doesn't square with what the practical reality is, because I know it's not just true in Detroit. It's true here, too.
Absolutely. It's what they know.
We have people coming across the border paying cash for health services because they know they can get them.
Only the very wealthy could get the cream of the crop of health care if you're living in a country that has socialized medicine, like Canada or in England, where I lived. Again, most of my brother's patients, when he was working in Detroit, were very wealthy Canadians that were told, you have to wait X amount of months for an elective surgery. You have to wait X amount of months for your health care. And they thought, well, why am I going to do that? I'll just go to the United States and pay cash. And so I personally do not want some bureaucrat telling me when I can receive surgeries or how I should receive my health care. And also, too, you have to look at the taxes in these countries. I mean, it's outrageous how much in taxes they pay in Canada compared to what we do here. And I'm of the mindset of we should not have the government running our health care because they can't even run what they have on their plate right now.
Let's go back to a fundamental thing, which we've touched on in various ways, and that is the budget itself. Who creates the budget for Erie County?
Obviously, it's a great question.
And then what? So what? I know there's under the county executive's authority, there's a budget office.
Correct.
And
yeah.
then there's your office. How do you...
It's a great question. People ask that all the time. Like, you know, we know about the Erie County Comptroller's Office, but what exactly do you do? You know, my position is I monitor and report how the county executive manages and operates the budget. Every single year, by charter, the county executive, no matter who it is, proposes spending. The county executive proposes spending, and then the legislature has the final say. And I believe we are mandated by charter, by law, to have a balanced budget and have it pass the legislature by December 8th. So the process works. So the county executive proposes his budget and then sends it to the legislature. And then the legislature, they could basically rubber stamp it and pass it as is, or they can add amendments, which is what they did in many respects this year. And so the legislature does have the final say on the passage of the budget. It's just recommended by the county executive. And as you mentioned, he does have a budget office, Office of Budget and Management, that is appointed by the county executive. And then the legislature will come to me. I'm actually mandated by the charter to give recommendations and whether or not his expenditures are reasonable.
And who asks you for those recommendations? The county executive himself?
By the charter.
By the charter.
By charter, by law, I have to give a report to the legislature and say, okay, are the expenses reasonable? And they are. You know, mm-hmm. sales tax revenue, as we talked before, is our largest source of revenue. And it is very difficult to predict and right. pinpoint exactly where it's going to go. I mean, literally month by month, let alone year by year. Some years it's been off by tens of millions of dollars, and other times it's been in the positive. So mid-October, I'll give the legislature a report on whether or not the revenues are reasonable. They'll take that information and make decisions on the county budget. And this year it was just passed on Thursday, 11-0. So now it goes back to the county executive. The county executive could veto it, but now that there's an 11-0 passage, it's going to be the law of the land.
We'll come back and go into some detail on
sure.
that, because I think it's important our listeners understand, and then kind of draw that back to the impact on real estate itself.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back with more from our house cheers after these important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. You also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and I encourage you to call today, 633-3700. About the most important call you can make when you're contemplating buying a home, because it provides you with access to loan products that you may not know about. For example, the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into the mortgage itself. So effectively, you're buying the before, whatever you happen to see when you buy the house, when you're looking at the house, but you're going to be able to live the after and know what you're in for. As opposed to buying the house and praying that the estimates come in somewhere below what your budget might be. You'll know up front, and it's also you're financing it, which is a great way to go about it, particularly at today's very low, historically low interest rates. And also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you have a general inquiry about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center today, 633-9400. And we have a customer service rep that will either answer your question there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, fixing up the one you have, financing a home, insuring a home, or whatever it may be relative to residential real estate. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. And even though it's the holiday season, I wish you all a very happy holiday season. It's a lot of good time to look at open houses, too. So get out today and tomorrow and look at those open houses. I'm in the studio today with Stefan Mihailu, the comptroller of Erie County, and we've been having a at least for me anyway, a very interesting discussion about what's going on relative to how we finance the things that all of us have become used to in terms of services provided by the County of Erie, some of which are our design, others are designed by the state or elsewhere.
And we have no say in how it's spent, but we have to pay the bill.
Got to pay the bill. And we were talking about the budget process itself, and I, if I can summarize, the county executive creates the budget, submits it to the legislature. Legislature passes it upon your advice and consent.
Correct. And yeah, we can say whether or not the budget is balanced, whether it's not balanced. I actually have, by charter, by law, I must, as comptroller, declare a deficit if one exists. And Nancy Naples was awfully busy during the height of the red-green budget crisis many years ago, but by charter. And that's why it's so important to have an independent watchdog and someone who's not tied to the county executive, because if a storm is coming, then I have to legally declare whether or not a deficit exists. One does not, only because we have such healthy reserves right now within the County of Erie. Nothing near Dennis Gorski levels of $200-plus mm-hmm. million, dollars, but we're halfway there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's why it's so important, because the legislature looks to the comptroller's office and say, okay, here's the budget that we received from the county executive. What do you think? What are your thoughts? We give them in a formal report, and then I testify before the legislature. And this year was an incredibly smooth process. The legislature worked in a collaborative fashion with the county executive, and it had passed 11-0. So even if the county executive had provided a veto, it's veto-proof, and it will be the law of the land for 2018.
Interesting. Here's something to think about as you look at the budget. Real property taxes have a direct impact on affordability of housing. When someone goes to be qualified or pre-committed for a mortgage, there's an assumption of property taxes built into there. So it's principal on the mortgage, interest on the mortgage, property taxes, and then estimate of insurance, PITI as we call it. Tax element. So you get a number. The potential buyer gets a number. This is what you can afford per month, based upon either a 30-year loan, 15-year loan, whatever you want to, however you want your finances to work. So based on that, most people buy up to that level. In other words, they want to get the best house they can get for what they can afford.
And so, knowing for the most part your income is going to increase, hopefully, over the next 15 or 30 years.
You're praying, though. But the lender can only say what they know right now. They can't say, you know, they might look at a certain type of professional and say, well, there's a very good likelihood that you're going to be able to earn more money in the future, but we can't necessarily allow you to bank on it because things may change, meaning become disabled, whatever the case might be. So, and here's just a little rule of thumb. Right now, based on today's interest rates, it's about $4.77 per thousand on a 30-year mortgage. So every time taxes go up by $4.77 times 12, so say it's $5, that's $60 a year. Every time anyone's taxes go up $60 a year, they effectively lose $1,000 in affordability.
Correct.
And so this is, I know you're aware of this, but our listeners may not be aware of this. We've talked about this many, going back to several administrations ago when I was interviewing then county executives about this whole thing, and we're discussing like the red and green budget. I believe you were a journalist at the time.
You had a front row seat to that one.
To me, this is every time that the legislature says only this much increase, it's only that much increase, it's only, or we're only going to raise taxes 2%. First of all, people don't know what's 2% of.
Right.
You know, 2% of what?
Right.
I mean, is it 2% of their assessment? Is it 2% of the equalization rate? Is it 2% of the real dollars that you pay?
Well, even look at a town like West Seneca. I mean, can you imagine? I'm sure you're getting questions constantly.
All the time.
When they're almost hitting a 10% increase in property taxes.
10% of what? How would you define that 10%?
I would define it as 10% of what they collected in levy from the year before. That's how I would define it. But I don't think people, you make such an excellent point, because I don't think people understand, even moving it, that, you know, 4.77%, even moving that barely, you know, a tenth of a percent, that impacts people by thousands of dollars and potentially tens of thousands of dollars. And that's why we fight so hard to at least hold the line on property taxes and the levy and things of that nature, because it has there's a direct correlation on the housing market pertaining to what you're charging in taxes. And that's why we've seen, we have so many friends and family that live in Florida, North Carolina, that my wife Ashley and I have to hop on a plane to go and visit. Why? Because our taxes are so incredibly high in New York State and Erie County that people are leaving with their jobs and their families to pay lower taxes. And that's why it's so incredibly important that we do fight the good fight, at least on the Republican side of the aisle, to make sure we lower government spending, we keep our taxes as low as possible, because there is a direct correlation with things like the housing market. Because again, when folks in West Seneca or even the town of Evans, we had to offer a bailout at the county level of the town of Evans because they tried to float a revenue anticipation note a few years ago, and no one bought their paper. And they were literally going to shut down their government for the entire month of December 2 years ago. So we had an interesting formula where we literally loaned them the money based on a tax anticipation note, and they paid us back. But I can imagine what homeowners are asking you if taxes are going up almost 10% in Evans or West Seneca, and they may be a little gun-shy about purchasing in certain areas because of the fact that even though a budget is going up in 1 year, as you had mentioned, there's a massive snowball effect of not just this year, but in out years of what they're going to pay out of their pocket for a home.
And it's interesting how these things are interrelated, all these matters are interrelated, and how one decision made in the 1970s creates what we deal with today here in places like West Seneca and all across upstate, all across the whole state for that matter. And we were discussing this with Robin Schimmer just a couple weeks ago, but the average value of a home in our community here is $148,000 based on sales last year, up somewhat from the year before. And although there's this talk that we're in a boom real estate world right now, it went up by about 4 or 5% last year, which is a pretty significant increase. But realistically speaking, I think people are thinking prices are doubling, and they're not.
Right.
What suppresses value is just what we're talking about, among other things, is taxes. And people say, well, gee, taxes in this, real property taxes are high in this area, which you know they are. And in defense of our area, though, whenever I travel, I look at, obviously I'm a real estate junkie, I can't help but look at it. So I'm looking at real estate, and I look at what the taxes are on any given property, and I look at it a little differently than just the dollars. I look at taxes per square foot.
Oh, that's interesting.
And once you look at taxes per square foot, we're not that bad.
Well, you look at the school taxes. I mean, school taxes are outrageous in Erie County.
Well, I'm getting there. I want you to comment on this. A lot of that is not to fund the schools today, their operation today. It's to fund retirees.
Correct.
And the defined benefit package that they received when they signed up to be a teacher, which, you know, they signed up in good faith, and that's
what they negotiated. That's
what they negotiated, and their union has represented them well. But the fact of the matter is, these are legacy deals. They go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And when you, like the son of West Seneca, their argument was, we don't have any choice.
This is what's in the union contract.
We have to pay these people.
It's my understanding.
And the people of West Seneca aren't getting really any benefit from that, unless those people still live there.
Right.
Which many of them don't.
Right. It's my understanding that the City of Buffalo School District actually pays more in health care cost for retirees than they do people on the payroll.
And that's been the case for a while.
It has. So when you're a local government and you're showing people, and that's why, you know, especially we talk about West Seneca, but they're saying their hands are tied because of union contracts. What are you going to do? You are bound by law and by this contract. But I think another thing that really scares me that will have a major, major impact on development in Buffalo, we're hearing all this talk about bringing so-called affordable housing policies.
I want to come back and talk about that. We have to go to a break because I'm somewhat tangentially involved in that. And we've got a couple of callers. I'd like to ask callers to wait till after the break. We'll be right back with more from our house years after these important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the low closing cost and low-rate guarantee, 633-3700 for personalized, customized service. I'm in the studio today with Stefan Mihailu, the controller of Erie County. We've been talking about, you know, in my mind, some critical issues relative to real estate and real estate values, and one of the reasons why, among the reasons why our values are historically and comparatively low compared to other communities of the quality of ours, which I consider ours to be an extremely high quality community, as are all the cities in upstate, yet we are bargain priced compared to the rest of the country because of, at least in part, because of the tax, the amount of money that people have to pay every month, that the percentage of which goes to taxes. But before we go any farther, Stefan, we have a couple callers online. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Stefan.
John, good morning.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
You know, I we need tax abatements and incentive programs to spur development in upstate.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going through that for a number of years, but how does this affect from your perspective, the budget in Erie County? I know in Rochester, maybe in Buffalo, there's some luxury condo projects being developed or have been developed. And under the tax deal, they pay no property taxes for the first 8 years, and then it phases in at 20% a year through years 9 through 13. Obviously, they're paying no county taxes in that case. How do you look at that, and does that have a big impact on what you do in budgeting for the county?
It does, actually, but my argument would be as a philosophical one, is saying, okay, let's just say developer A comes and says, I want to build a 20-story condo unit in downtown Buffalo, and for 10 years I want abatements where my tenants will not pay property tax, and as John had mentioned, will phase in after the fact. Well, right now we're collecting nothing. Zero right now. So it's a philosophical argument where I'd say, yes, I would absolutely positively not charge them property taxes for 10 years, because when those individuals do move in downtown Buffalo, then they're going to be spending their money. They're going to be paying sales tax. They're shopping in our store. So I see it as a net plus. And we have to compete with other communities that charge less in taxes. So I see it as a smart investment to give abatements and give property tax relief towards folks that want to develop.
Our next caller is John from Cheektowaga. John, how can we help you?
Hey, guys. I mean, I've been in business a long time and frustrated with the taxes around here, and I'm just concerned that we don't do enough talking about the reasons for the high taxes. Like in Stefan's case, I mean, regardless of whether it's new state influenced or not, you know, we got to do something about all these welfare bums. I mean, they're a tremendous expense to the taxpayers. And everywhere I go, there's some small businessman or manager working because some poor person didn't show up for their shift. I mean, I would say about 90% of the poor in this county, from my observation, shouldn't be getting anything. And we've got to be putting pressure on the community as businessmen to assure that.
And John, if you go, and thank you for the call, we greatly appreciate the comments. Yeah, I mean, it's again, that also is a philosophical argument where New York State offers the Cadillac of benefits, and I believe you only need to establish residency for 30 or 60 days, and you get the Cadillac of benefits. And it's a slap in the face to hardworking people like John, business owners that pay their taxes. I mean, come to the Rath Building, and you'll see all the vehicles with out-of-state license plates, because they know how to game the system. You know, as a poor kid from the east side of Buffalo, I grew up in William and Fillmore, and yeah, when I was a kid, you know, we were dependent for a short period of time on government assistance. But it should be a temporary safety net, not a lifetime hammock where you can basically lounge and milk off the taxpayer.
You know, it's very interesting. I mean, we're getting into deep into political philosophy here. and like it or not, we're stuck with this legislation. It's and my experience, I studied government. That was and it remains kind of an avocation of mine, a deep interest because of its pervasive influence in our lives. But one of the things that I found to be true, and I'd ask you your opinion of this, is that legislators in legislatures around this country and nationally want to do good. So they propose something. And when they propose something and it passes and the executive signs it at whatever level, everybody feels good. We've done something. They've tried to anticipate the net effect on the cost and everything else, which they're almost always wrong.
Right.
Almost always wrong, no matter what. And everybody, all the journalists bank on these predictions, and they're always wrong.
Correct.
So why bother?
You know? I would agree with that.
They're always wrong. So let's assume for a second that a law is passed. Almost without exception, every law requires an enforcement mechanism. That enforcement mechanism is called a bureaucracy. Bureaucracies exist to perpetuate themselves.
Correct.
They never go away. You got to build a building. You got to put the employees someplace. They now are government employees. The benefit packages are fabulous. It's almost impossible for, you know, unless you really, really, really screw up, if you're a government employee, to lose your job. I'm not being critical.
It's true.
It's just the way the laws are written.
Yeah, I have to actually go to the Department of Personnel and look through specific lines within contract to say, can I terminate this person? Can I suspend this person? And my hands
are
tied. It's frustrating.
Good luck.
Wouldn't last a second in the private sector.
So when people like John are frustrated, every business person, everyone who runs a business has to be frustrated in some way, shape, or form because inevitably you're running up against bureaucracy. One step I forgot to mention was that all laws create, generally speaking, some type of regulations. And if you look at the national level, for every page of legislation, there are 10 pages of regulations. That's
crazy.
Like, you know, there's the Obamacare legislation, 2,500 pages. There's 25,000 pages of regulations.
Of enforcement of the regulations.
At least. And there's whole buildings built, brand new buildings. 2009, when the whole real estate economy is falling on its face. One city had cranes in the air all over the place, Washington, D.C., to house these bureaucracies to enforce all this new legislation, principally the Dodd-Frank bill and Obamacare.
Well, even to dive a little bit deeper, and I'll be very brief about my comments pertaining to the proposed tax law in Washington right now, but I think that's another reason why so many people are having 1,000 heart attacks, because when the consumer can now file their taxes on basically an index card, there's going to be a massive ripple effect in that entire system of bureaucracy in the private and public sector that you just discussed. And that's why I think people are melting down, because how great is that for Americans that their deductions are basically doubling from $12,700 to $24,000, but they can file their taxes on an index card. And that's going to have a massive earthquake ripple effect in both the public and private sector.
If, in fact, the infrastructure is also contracted the way the forms are contracted, which I highly doubt. So as far as I'm concerned, they're just going to be pushing some papers around someplace.
Oh, that's funny.
We have a bunch of callers on the line. This is Kathy from South Buffalo. Kathy, how can we help you quickly?
Good morning. I just wanted to say something. As I worked for the county for almost 40 years, mm-hmm. and the ridiculousness of what goes on, it's insane. You have people that come in, they apply for welfare, they have three kids, and through no fault of their own, they've lost their job. So they get everything they need. They get school clothes and money and everything else, and rent and heat and gas and electric. And then they turn around, they have another kid. And then they come in, and we give them more money.
Mm-hmm.
Buy the baby a layette and crib and everything you need. And they get all these subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, they come in, they've got another kid.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen them where there was one man, he had a family of like six or seven kids on one street, and like two blocks over, he had another family with about six or seven kids. He would live with the one, she'd get pregnant, he'd stay for a while, then he'd go back to the other one. And we were paying for this.
We all are, well, Kathy.
Us keep paying. Yeah, and then every time you turn around when you're retired, Well, you're making too much money. We better take some of that away. We better charge you another fee. We better give you another tax. But nothing is done to the people that don't contribute. I mean, if you're on hard times and you have children, by all means, come and get everything you can get for your family.
And well, thank you, Kathy, for all your work on behalf of taxpayers for the county. Thank you.
And you compound it and continue to have children, and you don't even half the time know who the fathers are.
Kathy, I have to ask you if you've got a question for us.
Well, I think you wrapped it up, Kathy, pretty well in a nice bow of how you feel.
We understand how you feel, and I'm sure you're not alone. There's many people that are frustrated by the system. And as we were saying earlier, the system exists to perpetuate itself. So I don't know how situations like Kathy describes.
Well, hopefully meaningful welfare reform like we saw in the mid-90s under the Clinton presidency.
But it was all reinstated in the
right.
last 8 years.
We have what's called safety net here in Erie County, that we pay a massive bill that if people are on welfare longer than 5 years and they remain, then the county taxpayer picks up the loss through what's called safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel, Kathy, your frustration, and I really thank you for the hard work that a lot of our employees do on behalf of taxpayers.
We'll take one more question because we're running out of time here. This is Jerry from Niagara Falls. Jerry, how can we help you?
Funny enough, I called about welfare reform. However, you know, when people say things that are inflammatory, and I'm a Republican, and I'm totally on board with everything you're saying, but when I was younger, let's say you're an able-bodied person and, you know, you wanted to go get a job, you had programs, I think it was called the CETA program, where you'd go out and find a job, and they would pay half your salary for maybe the first 6 months or a year.
Right.
You know, things like that to get people off the dole. You got people like Kathy there are sure as well-intentioned, but you can tell by her remarks, and I even noticed that you took a step back from, she's got a very candid point of view, and everybody's not doing what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That 90% of the people shouldn't be collected. You know, you and I both know that is ridiculous.
Yeah. That's true. And I Jerry, we're running out of time here, Jerry. I'd love to have, you know, your opinion and everybody else's about this, but I think you're drawing a very important line here, and that is that not everybody's out to game the system.
Correct.
And I think that's your point, Jerry. I hope anyway. And as Kathy had said, you know, there are people that really need the assistance that government provides, and it should be there for that.
As a temporary safety net, not a lifetime hammock. Because the taxpayers are the ones who are footing the bill in the end.
Exactly. But we have the system we have, back to my, you know, perhaps fatalistic point, that we're kind of stuck with the system we have. And I guess this goes back to you as county controller. And I always try to have our guest give us the silver lining on what's going on here. And let me ask you my favorite question to ask everybody. We've got great feeling of momentum in our community. What can you do from your position to help us maintain that momentum?
Very briefly, we have to create a culture in government where we create an environment where businesses can not just survive but thrive. And you do that by reducing government spending, by lowering taxes, and releasing the regulations and burdens and the chains on business where they can actually become income generators for themselves and for their employees. It's pretty simple. You know, my campaign theme was, hey, we had a good thing going in Erie County. My job as controller is to keep an eye on the politicians and make sure they don't screw it up. So that's what we need to do, create a culture where businesses can survive and thrive to help them grow, which in turn helps their employees and our local economy.
That comes through a healthy checks and balance system.
Amen to that.
As you described earlier. Stefan Mihailu, County Comptroller of Erie County, thank you very much
for
being with us. And I'd like to wish you and your family and all of our listeners a very happy holiday season. Enjoy it in good health. It's a beautiful winter day out there. It's not even winter yet, technically. And so enjoy this beautiful day. And my best wishes to everybody. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.